Good evening. Not to make the Tiger fans feel bad, but Pastor Bill called in the old right-hander for out of the bullpen today. Tonight we're going to look at an area of scripture that I thought it's really ministered to me lately, and in my personal time in my reading through the Bible, I'm in Revelation, and there's been in two days in a row, I've read about huge crowds, and how amazing that's going to be, and I've also been thinking about a crowd that we read about in Mark. So we're going to look at that tonight. But in each of our lifetimes, I'm sure that we've all been part of a crowd, or at least a large group. I know for Lori and I, growing up, we've gone to conferences and concerts and sporting events and a lot of other things. And most of the time, wherever you go in a crowd, there's usually some kind of a common interest, whether it be, a team that you support, or an artist that you want to hear, or whatever. And tonight we're going to look at a crowd where people came with different expectations, and we'll see how that fits in with us, and if it makes us think a little bit about where we've been, where we're going, and what God's doing in our own lives. So let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for who you are. We thank you that you love us so much. Lord, we're so unworthy, but you have called us to be your children. What a privilege that is, Lord. We thank you for this time we can be together. We ask that as we open your word, Lord, that you would speak to each one of us, that we would hear from you, and Lord, that you would just do an amazing work as we leave this place, that you would use us in the mission field when we go out. Lord, we lift up Pastor Bill and Beth as they travel, that you'd be with them and watch over them. Bless them as they minister to Ethan and his fiance, and we pray, God, that you would continue to work here, Lord. There's so many needs, and we ask that you would meet each person right where they are, and that you would be glorified in them and through them. We thank you, and we praise you, because you alone are worthy, in Jesus' name. So we're going to sing this song together. I thought this was a good prayer for us as we open God's word. So I asked Debbie if she would help me, because I'm not the greatest singer. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Okay, if you would open your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 21 to 43. it says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him. And he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I will be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?"' And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.' While he was still speaking, some came to from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?' As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not be afraid, only believe.' And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, 'Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping.' And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kumi,' which is translated, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.' Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement, but he commanded them strictly that no one should know it. And he said, and said that something should be given to her to eat." So here we have a large crowd of people, and they're pressing in on Jesus. And there's two people that come to him for specific reasons. They had needs that they needed fulfilled. Jairus, who was there to seek out Jesus to heal his daughter, and the woman with the issue of blood was there to receive healing. Do we ever wonder what the rest of the crowd was doing there? Maybe they were simply there because they saw a crowd gathering, and they had no idea who Jesus was. Maybe they came to see if Jesus was going to do something special. Maybe they came to see if Jesus was going to stop the crowd and speak to them. But there was a huge crowd. And whatever the reason for being there was, the amazing thing was that they all saw Jesus. And even though Jairus and the woman had similar desires from Jesus, they both needed healing to take place in their situations, they went about it differently. Jairus asked Jesus to come and touch his daughter so that she could be healed. On the other hand, the woman seemed to be a little bit more bold, and she touched Jesus' garment. Jairus came to Jesus out of desperation as his little girl was dying. And I kind of relate to this because there was a time when I did that. And I firmly believed that Jesus was going to heal me. And he did, but in a different way than what I was expecting. But Jairus, since he was the leader of the synagogue, I'm sure that him coming at this point was a last-ditch effort, like, I'm so desperate that I'm even going to go see if Jesus will come and touch her. Because being the leader of the synagogue, this is the same synagogue that when Jesus healed the man with the withered hand, all the leaders in the synagogue wanted to throw him out and crucify him at that point. And Jairus was probably one of those guys. So for him to come, he is willing to throw away his title, throw away his influence. And he comes and he falls down at Jesus' feet. And he pleads with them to come and heal his daughter. And I wonder, how many times have we waited until things were so desperate and it took that desperation for us to come to the Lord? Last Saturday at men's study, Pastor Clay made a statement. He said, as men, we like to fix things. And that's true. As men, we do like to fix things. But if you're like me, the way you fix things is make sure they're totally broke before you ask somebody to help you fix it. And Jairus waited as long as he could. And I'm sure that he had tried every other possible thing that he could do before he came to Jesus. And being a leader in the synagogue, he knew that Jesus had the ability to heal his daughter because he had seen Jesus heal the man. So for him, it wasn't a question of whether or not Jesus could heal his daughter, but would he? And you know, it's funny because we tend to put human expectations on God. Like, I'm sure going through his mind was, you know, I wanted to kill this guy a couple weeks ago, and now all of a sudden I'm asking him to heal my daughter. I'm sure he's not going to do that. But the beautiful thing is that God doesn't function like that. And it's probably a good thing for all of us that he doesn't hold things against us. But he comes and he pleads with Jesus. And Jesus goes with him to see his daughter. And as they're walking, and the crowd is following along, the woman with the issue of blood touches the hem of his robe. And here's a woman who's also desperate. She's wasted all of her money going to doctors and all kinds of specialists and trying everything she could think of. And she just kept getting sicker. But she knows in her heart of hearts that if she could just touch his robe, that she'll be healed. So she presses in and touches the hem of his robe and is healed immediately. Her only problem is that Jesus realizes that power has gone out of him. And he turns and says, "Who touched me?" And I imagine this lady, because I'm a real visual person, so I picture this. I picture this lady kind of cowering away, not wanting anybody to know that she's been healed and that her touching Jesus has been a miracle. And then thinking, well, he healed me. He's not going to take the healing back. Because that's how we are as humans. And the disciples are probably like how a lot of us would probably be. Lord, the crowd's pressing in on you. Come on, somebody touched you, really? That's what you're thinking? And Jesus just continues to look around. And the woman, trembling with fear, steps forward and tells him the whole truth. And I love the response that Jesus gives her. He says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." What a great relief for her. And this woman had been determined to touch Jesus because she knew that it meant she would be healed. And as she is admitting that to Jesus that she touched his robe, the messengers come and tell Jairus not to bother Jesus anymore because your daughter has died. And then when they get to the house, because Jesus just keeps walking, he says to Jairus, "Have faith. Have faith." And he keeps walking. You see, when Jairus asked Jesus to go with him to the house, and Jesus said, "I'll go to the house," that means Jesus is going to the house. So they keep walking. And it sounds like it was pretty chaotic in the house. People weeping and wailing. And Jesus comes in and says, "What's all the commotion? She's not even dead, she's sleeping." And then they start to make fun of him. They laugh at him, basically telling him he's crazy. And Jesus finally has had enough, and he puts them out of the house. And he takes his three disciples, and the mother and the father and the little girl, and they go into the little girl's room. And Jesus takes her by the hand and says, "Talitha kumi, little girl, I say to you, get up." And then she gets up. Her parents are amazed. And I imagine the disciples probably were pretty amazed also. And Jesus says, "You don't need to tell anybody, just get her something to eat." And we see in these few verses two people that are in desperate situations. One is desperate for Jesus to touch his daughter and heal her. The other one is desperate to touch Jesus. We see here that there were many in the crowd and pressing around him, but there was just the one who intentionally touched him. We see another area in Matthew 14, 34 to 36, where there's another example of people touching Jesus to be healed. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. So in this case, he comes and there's not a crowd, but they create a crowd. And the crowd comes to be healed. I believe that there are countless people today who are trying everything they can possibly get their hands on to be healed. But here we see the simplicity of touching the hem of Jesus' garment. That's what heals. And I'm sure that you all have people in your life. I know I have people in my life who are, to use an old phrase, barking up the wrong tree. They are looking for anything but Jesus. And I know that there are people who think, "Oh, I have to get it together before I come to Christ." But think about that for a minute. If you were having chest pains, would you call your doctor and say, "Hey, doc, as soon as I lose 50 pounds, I'm going to come in and have you check out these chest pains I'm having"? No. You go to the ER. You don't wait. And there's people all around us who are doing exactly that. They think they got to get it all together before they can come to the Lord. And I don't know if we as the church have put that out there or what, but somehow the point's got to get across that he takes us exactly as we are. He's the one that's going to fix us. He's the one that's going to heal us. He's the one that is going to bring us into an eternal destination with Him. It's not what we do, it's what He's done. And I believe that we all need a touch from Jesus. There are many in the crowd today who are pressing around. And we live in a world that is unstable at best. And we represent Christ. Wherever we go, whoever we're with, we represent Christ. And really, our testimony basically is how I've been healed. How God has healed me really from myself. He's the only one that can make us whole. Amen. And it's important for us to step out in faith and touch Him. Not simply press in around Him, there's plenty of people doing that, but to actually reach out and touch Him. I sniped a few statements off of Pastor Chuck because I thought they made things really clear. And this is what he said. The touch of Jesus is a touch of love. He wants to touch you with His love today. The touch of Jesus is a touch of healing. He wants to touch you and heal you today. The touch of Jesus is a touch of life. He wants to touch you and give you eternal life today. The touch of Jesus is a touch of deliverance. He wants to touch you and deliver you today from the power of darkness that has been destroying you. The touch of Jesus is a touch of power, and He wants to give you power this day. And I wonder, does any of that resonate with us? Do we need love, healing, life, deliverance, power? We all need a touch from Jesus today, because this life isn't easy. And as we walk through life, we go through different things. And we need Jesus to touch us in different ways at different times. And I believe that Jesus is waiting for us to reach out to Him and touch Him. Or He's waiting for us to cry out to Him and ask Him to touch us. The thing we don't want to do is we don't want to be one of those who are simply pressing in around Him and never receiving from Him. He touched these two people in different ways. And they both received healing. They received what they were looking for. And He is willing to do that for us if we just ask. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for these examples in Your Word. Lord, for Your touch. We pray, God, that if anyone here needs a touch from You, that You would touch them tonight. That You would strengthen God, that you would be glorified, that you'd be magnified and lifted up. There's so much going on around us, Lord. Help us to be sensitive to those around us. Help us to use the touch that you've given to us and to share that with others. We're thankful, Lord, for the many blessings that you've placed on each one of us. Help us never to take for granted the greatest blessing that you've given to us, and that is life with you. Lord, heal us, strengthen us, give us power, deliver us. Help us to love and to be used by you. We give you praise, Lord, because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name.